This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with T. Shawik in the studio with me today. So earlier in our first story, we were talking about another proposed development project that would involve, yet again, the clearing of a forest, and this time in Kampar. So, you know, if you want, do download that podcast a bit later and find out how you can help. But now on to our second story.
Yes. And before we get into what that's about, we are asking you on Twitter, have you taken time out to focus on your mental well-being during this pandemic? Maybe you've taken a break from work, got some me time, or sought mental health support, even if you needed it. So far, 55% of you have said no, and almost 45% of you said yes. So keep those votes or thoughts coming in. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 if you'd like to share with us how your mental well-being or mental health has fared during this period. So last Friday, our Prime Minister announced that the recovery movement control order will be extended until the 31st of December this year. Now, for many of us, the news isn't particularly surprising because I think looking at the numbers here and around the world, most of us probably expected that this would happen. While our COVID-19 numbers are quite low and manageable, we are still seeing several clusters emerging from time to time. So the health DG, Tan Sri Dr. Noh Hisham Abdullah, has also confirmed that the D614G type mutation of the coronavirus, which is said to be 10 times more infectious, has been found in several clusters in Malaysia, such as the Sivaganga and Tawar clusters. So, as long as we continue to follow the SOPs when we're out and about, it does help to prevent further transmission of COVID-19. But at the same time, the extension of the RMCO allows these SOPs to be enforced.
Yes, and the extension of the RMCO offers a sense of certainty during this pandemic. Excuse me, because we know that this is crucial to managing the spread of the disease. But at the same time, there's an undercurrent of uncertainty, right? Mm. That hasn't really gone away since the start of the pandemic in March, throughout the initial MCO and, of course, its various iterations. We humans are resilient creatures. We've adapted to working from home, you know, to the need for greater balance between work and home responsibilities, you know, to practicing the new normal of our lives, even to taking better care of our health. But we're doing all of this in the face of so much uncertainty of whether we can ever go back to that so-called normalcy of before COVID.
I know, you tend to think of time as before COVID and after COVID, isn't it?
How is this life?
Yeah, and speaking of health, in the past few months, there's been no shortage of discussions on the impact of the pandemic on our mental health. So on our Health and Living segments, we've looked at a range of issues from depression and suicide to grief and the long-term impact on our mental health, as well as how circumstances such as poverty and gender could exacerbate mental health issues. While some of us are struggling with our mental health during this time, others may be coping a little better. But you can't help but wonder if we are just coping or running on adrenaline and constantly high-strung, will there come a point when we simply snap?
Yes, so that's what a recent article published by Medium actually touched on. It was written by American photojournalist and science writer Tara Haley, who shared her experiences of coping during this pandemic. So she described how in the early months of the pandemic, she felt like she was coping fine and, you know, told her psychiatrist as much. Yet she acknowledges that it was exhausting to take on the childcare, you know, make sure they have enough supplies at home, and to continuously churn out articles to help others make sense of the pandemic. Mm. So in her words, she, and I quote, thrives in high-stress emergency situations. So basically she was coping, right? Mm-hmm. But she saw the crash coming and she knew that, you know, she couldn't function like this on what she describes as a quote-unquote surge capacity forever. It's a very interesting phrase. Mm. But even knowing that, she didn't appreciate how hard the crash would be or how long it would last or how hard it would be to try to get back up over and over again, or what getting up even looked like. Mm.
So Tara goes on to share how by the end of May, she was struggling to cope. She couldn't get any work done. She was tired of Zoom meetings. She found it impossible to think with her children around her all day. And she struggled to even find motivation to do any work. And this carried on for weeks. And when she finally wrote about how she felt on social media, she realized she wasn't alone because she received similar responses from many other high-achieving, competent, impressive women that she professionally admires.
Yeah, so Haley uses the term, as I mentioned earlier, surge capacity, which refers to a collection of adaptive systems that are both mental and physical. So we draw on these systems for short-term survival in, you know, acutely stressful situations. Mm. So running on surge capacity is like running on adrenaline, you know, such as when you're chased by a dog or you're dealing with a natural disaster, for example. But these events generally occur over a short period of time, even if the aftermath or recovery takes longer. A pandemic, however, is different. Mm. So the disaster, quote unquote, you know, itself stretches out indefinitely, you know, as what we're seeing now. Yep. The COVID-19 pandemic was formally announced by the WHO on the 11th of March, and almost 7 months later, it shows no signs of abating. Mm. And a couple of weeks ago, the head of the WHO, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, did say that we could end the pandemic in under 2 years.
Oh.
But that is if all countries are able to take strict measures to curb the virus's spread. And we're certainly seeing some countries not doing that very well.
So uncertainty is implicit when we say if, right? And that uncertainty and the stress that comes with it could have a severe impact on our mental and emotional well-being. I mean, we keep hearing again and again, COVID-19 is unprecedented.
Oh, yes.
Its destruction is not like a natural disaster, where the damage is highly visible. Its impact is one that's actually really invisible, still ongoing for most of us. Many of us have had to make drastic changes in our work, home, school and social lives that we've never thought of before. We've even seen healthcare systems overrun in some countries, economies shut down, and a lot of it is there are stealthy effects, I suppose, in ripples on. You won't see the full effects for a long time to come.
That's right, and that is really quite terrifying. Yes. For so many people.
Yes.
And there's a paragraph in Haley's piece that I'd like to share because it perfectly describes how many of us might feel now. So she wrote, and I quote, "While the phrase adjusting to the new normal has been repeated endlessly since March, it's easier said than done. How do you adjust to an ever-changing situation where the new normal is indefinite uncertainty?"
Mm. So to help us make sense of how we might be feeling emotionally and mentally, on the line with us is clinical psychologist Dr. Joel Lau. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Joel. So the pandemic has created situations that are more stressful than some of us have dealt with before, and some of us are barely coping, right? So from a psychological perspective, how does our body help us to cope with extremely stressful situations?
So I think you're right in the sense that we are not designed to cope with this amount of stress for such a long time. I think naturally as human beings, as our forefathers, our cavemen and animals, ancestry that we have, our minds are usually designed to look at the stress or stressor and then try and deal with it as soon as possible. And that's what we have, the fight or flight mode, right? So every time we're faced with a stressor, we try and either run away from it or fight it, right, to avoid it. And then once that's gone, then we go back to normal. I think with this RMCO, because it's been going for such a long time, our bodies are probably and our minds are probably stressed out to the max right now because we're just not used to coping with stress for such a prolonged period. And I think what you start finding is that a lot of people will be going through a lot of burnout. A lot of people who have been coping quite okay in the past 6 months will start to crumble in that sense. They start to find that their coping mechanisms are not working as well as they should be. And I think you start finding a lot more people are crying for help, right? Because 6 months is one thing. For one whole year, I think the Prime Minister recently announced that they're going to be extending the RMCO to the end of the year, right? Mm-hmm. It's a totally bigger another question in that sense. And I think it's been quite a departure from the previous announcements, right? In the past, it's been announced in spurts, right? So it's like 1 month, 2 months, couple of weeks, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the first time we've been having a slap at a six-month announcement. Right? So we know for a fact that this is going to be what's going to be like for 6 months. Right? And for a lot of people, that can be quite jarring, right? So I think that's what we'll find happening. Right? I think that's what we'll see happening with a lot of people. They'll find that their coping mechanisms will start buckling and they're going to have a harder time coping with the stress.
How would you link this to what we mentioned in our article earlier, that surge capacity? Could you explain what this concept is?
Yep. So I think surge capacity is actually quite a nice metaphor for what's going on. So in a way, what happens is that, you know, whenever we're encountering a stressor or something that is a bad situation, basically, right, our mind, the psyche of our mind, our body as well, goes into this mode where we try and find reserves or resources to try and cope with the situation. you know, and you see a lot of this in, let's say, for example, in wartime, right? You hear stories about soldiers having like a limbs shot at, or they lose a finger, or, you know, they lose a, they get their foot hurt, for example, really badly. And they manage to still extract themselves, remove themselves from the war zone, and then get back to safety. And then when the hospital examines them, the doctors examine them, the doctor starts saying that, hey, you know what, you've got a broken leg, you shouldn't have been able to walk out of the situation. But what's happened there is that because of the adrenaline, because of the surge of the need to protect ourselves, or preserve ourselves, right, what that would result in is this surge capacity, like what the article says, right, to try and help us survive, right, and then we cope for a little while, then after that we just let go, like we just crumble, like, et cetera. So I think that's what surge capacity is trying to get at, like, in the center. We are faced with, like you said earlier on, a very unprecedented situation. This is something that no one in our generation or previous generations has encountered before, right? And we're learning new ways to cope with it. Like, because it's so new and so foreign, our bodies have had to, our minds have had to try and keep up with it and try and deal with the situation as best we can. So for a lot of us, for a long time, we were running on like low-key adrenaline rush, that kind of thing, right, for a long time, right? And I think, again, like I said earlier on, this isn't something that can last forever. Eventually, it's going to start crumbling and then it's going to start failing. And I think that's what's going to happen really, really soon. Another good metaphor for this would be like likening surge capacity to like nitrous oxide on cars. You know, those people who go for race cars and Fast and Furious and things like that, right? You're able to turn on the NOx for a little while, just for a little boost, but after that, it runs out and then you slow down again. I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of people.
So what are some signs that we're starting to max out and we're really beginning to crumble?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question, and I think it's our ability to cope. So what happens is that usually we define someone's mental and emotional health by their ability to cope with social and occupational situations, right? So that means you put them in the social situations with friends and family, or if you put them in a workplace or a study place setting, they're able to do what they need to do. Like, they're able to interact with people freely, they're able to get their jobs done, meet their goals and targets and all that kind of good stuff, right? So I think that once we start seeing people not being able to do that, people starting to recluse themselves, people starting to withdraw away from work, for example, not meeting their targets, getting more easily frustrated, things like that, that's usually a very good first sign that things aren't going as well as they should. That's the first one. I think and that's quite external usually. People around you, family members, friends, colleagues will be able to see that quite readily. On your own, one sign that you can look out for is your frustration levels. So if you are, let's say you've got kids at home and you're dealing with the kids homeschooled right now because of the lockdown and stuff like that, and you find yourself snapping at your kids or your spouse more often than usual, that's also another good sign that maybe you're not coping as well as you should be, like maybe you need to get some help for that.
Are we different in the amount of reserves that each of us starts with, and how does that affect the way we are able to cope?
Yep, and I think you're absolutely right. All of us have different levels of capacity to deal with stress, different levels of reserves and all that kind of good stuff, right? That's just human nature, that's who we are, right? And that's why when you have, let's say, for example, a bunch of people working in a class project, for example, right? That's why some people are able to cope with it quite readily and get pretty good grades, and some people just absolutely crumble and say, no, I can't do this anymore, I can't cope with it anymore, I don't want to do it, right? So everyone has differing levels, and that's the tricky part, because there's no rule of thumb, there's no way to really decide or determine when someone is buckling or reaching their max limit or not, right? And this is really a personal, individual kind of signs that you're looking out for, right? So there's really no good standard way to look out for it. The best way is to really be aware about yourself and see what's going on within you, mm-hmm. and using that as a barometer instead of how well you're doing.
So it's been more than 6 months since the start of the pandemic, but some people might be still having some difficulty adjusting to the realities of living in a pandemic, balancing between work and home responsibilities and all of the things that come with this so-called new normal. Is it normal for people to still find difficulty adjusting?
I think so. Because like we talked about earlier, this is quite unprecedented and this is something that's completely new for a lot of us, right? So I think for us to still be struggling a little bit, I think that's it's expected, it's okay, and I think it's understandable as well for you to be going through such a struggle at this time, right? I think a lot of people would be saying things like, oh, it's been 6 months, 5 months or whatever it is, and you should be able to cope already, you should be able to be more pliable, more resilient and things like that. And that's all good and well for a lot of people. But for those of us who can't, I think it's completely understandable and acceptable, right? But I think there is a difference between struggling and striving to try and cope and struggling and giving up, right? Because there are also situations where people struggle and they say, okay, you know what? I'm struggling right now, but I'm going to do my very best and try my best to get out of this funk, right? But there are also people who struggle and say, you know, I can't do it anymore. You know, and when they give up, I think that's the cause of concern. And that's when you need to get some external help or assistance to get back on your feet, right? So, yeah, I think it's something that we need to be aware of and be able to cope with the situation when it arises.
So we often hear that we should find time for ourselves. But what if people feel guilty for doing that while they have other responsibilities to fulfill?
Yep. This is a struggle that's been around since even before the MCO started, COVID-19 started. Yeah. Like, a lot of us have been brought up in a situation where, you know, especially in the Asian families or in my family, for example, right? You know, I was taught, you know, you can rest later, you work now, you strive now, you work hard now, right? And make sure you get your goals done, for example, right? And, you know, rest is for the week, that kind of thing. Like, that's the kind of lessons we've been taught. Like. Mm-hmm. So I think even in this kind of situation, those kind of old stories, old lessons are going to still prevail. Like. It's going to stick in our heads and we can't get rid of it in that sense. So my message to everybody from before and now as well, don't ever feel guilty for taking time away for yourself, right? I think there's a bit of a distinction that needs to be made. You know, for someone to take time off because they've had a very long 5 months and they need a break to recharge their batteries, I think it's absolutely fine. I would strongly encourage it. But at the same time, if you're doing it because you're running away, right? And sometimes people do that as well. They say, oh, you know, I'm burnt out and I'm going to take a break. But in actual fact, they know deep down inside, they're actually trying to avoid whatever that's stressing them or freaking them out or worrying them, right? That's more dysfunctional, right? So I think if you take a break for yourself, there's no need to feel guilty. But make sure you realize also why you're taking that break, right? And the decision needs to be made here, because if not, then in the long run, it's going to be more painful for you, right? Your boy will go for a month. When you come back, it's just going to be a deluge and then you're going to get drowned in it eventually. Yeah.
So taking into consideration all that we've been discussing, you know, that there is a breaking point that we will all reach at some point, what can we do now to cope with this pandemic that, you know, doesn't seem to be going away?
I think the most practical thing that we can do is to remind ourselves or to try and engage in our stress in first, right? So I think a lot of times for many of us, we try and put up a strong front. We try and just take it in, deal with whatever situations that life throws at us. And we try and not buckle down. We try and just face it head on, in a sense, right? And I think what's going to happen when we do that, eventually it's going to become like a pressure cooker situation where the pressure keeps growing inside of us. Eventually, when we hit that final straw that breaks our back, you know, we just explode like after that. Right? Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's very dangerous and we should be very careful about, because if you break down like that, right, the recovery process can be much greater. Like, right? So instead, I think a really practical way to go about it is to deal with one situation at a time and deal with it in chunks, basically, right? So that way, you never reach that exploding point, right? Rather, you know, you take it a week at a time, for example, at the end of the week, you have a decompression, right? Something you can do as self-care, for example, an hour or two, just work out coffee or just go for a massage or whatever it is that you can, whatever makes you, is enjoyable for you, right? And by doing so, we then deal with stress and the anxiety about life in general in chunks, right? So it's small little bites. Another thing that we can do for ourselves is to admit when we need help. I think that's also really, really important as well. A lot of us see posts on social media about how people are juggling like 3 kids, a job, and a side hustle on the side as well. And it's all good and well. But again, like I said earlier on, this is an individual thing. This is different from person to person to person. It's not right to say that, you know, if you see someone on Facebook or Instagram thriving in this kind of situation, that you should be the same as well. I think that's something that is really, really wrong and really detrimental to our mental health, right? Instead, I think we need to recognize whenever we are struggling, we're stuck. And reach out for help, right? Be it, let's say, asking our parents to take the kids for a couple of hours so you can go rest for a while, sleep for, take a nap for 2 hours. Or if you ask your colleagues to tidy over for half an hour or half a day, for example, so that you can get some chores done at home for a couple, right? Mm. So I think these are the two things. You know, make sure you do work in bouts or the bus so that you can manage your stress a bit better. And ask for help when you need it. These are two practical things that you can do.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Joel. That was clinical psychologist Dr. Joel Lau sharing some things for us to keep in mind, you know, as we all figure out how each of us can cope during this pandemic.
I know some things that I think are achievable enough to try at least to do in our own time. And so we were also asking you that. Have you taken time out to focus on your mental well-being during this pandemic, the kind of self-care things that Dr. Joel was talking about? 55% of you have said no. That's a sign that you need to take a step back and see what you can do, take care of yourself. 45% of you say yes, so that's encouraging. A couple of comments, we have Xiong An who says, reading the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy has been my mental bomb during lockdown. Epic tales of adventure, valor and sacrifice gave me hope and kept me sane during these uncertain times.
Oh, there's an idea right
there. I know. There. I think I'm going to go back tonight and dig that thick book right out. We also have a couple of other comments basically saying, you know, what me time, which...
All right, we can, you know, no guesses what they voted lah.
Yes.
Yes.
We'd also have another comment on WhatsApp who asked, how do we get mental health support? Mm-hmm. And in order to answer that, I'd like to point you to our Health and Living webinar last Friday, where our teammate, Shamila Gunnison, actually spoke to Associate Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, consultant psychiatrist from University Malaya Medical Center, about this similar issue as well, how to cope with the stress that we are dealing with right now. And Dr. Amir actually spent quite a bit of time talking about where you can go, who's offering services, and what kind of services you may need, and different ways that we can support each other. So you can watch that webinar. You'll get a lot more information about it as well. You can find that webinar on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/BFM Radio. Look under the live tab.
Yes, and you know, part of that, we also had a self-care kit, which you can still download from the link in the comment section of the webinar video. If you download the kit before tomorrow, you'll be in the running to win a Starbucks card, which is worth about 240 ringgit. And the winner will be announced at our next webinar, which is taking place on Friday, the 4th of September.
But so if you win that Starbucks card, you can use a bit of that for me time, right?
Get out, have a coffee for 2 hours, as Dr. Joel said, right? I think any form of escapism, you know, yeah. Anything that sort of breaks the mundane or breaks that yeah, the schedule as such.
Mundane part of it, yeah, because we are just chasing deadlines all the time.
Yeah.
But also just getting away, because if you don't just tell yourself to stop and take a step back, your mind is constantly thinking about what needs to be done, what haven't I done?
Oh, yes.
And it's so distressing, actually.
It's exhausting, actually. It is, and yeah. It plays on your mind. It starts to affect your sleep, I find. Well, this is me talking.
Definitely.
And, you know, there has to come a point, you're right, you know, and as everybody's been saying, you need to make that decision. You have to say, no, I'm not going to check my emails. I'm not going to respond to WhatsApp messages. Y'all can talk to me tomorrow.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of sleep... Let me do another plug for our webinar this Friday, 4th of September. We'll be talking about sleep issues that people are facing during this period and what you can do to improve your nighttime rest.
Okay. All right. So that's this Friday, the 4th of September.
Yep.
If you have any thoughts, you know, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. I think both of us sincerely hope for everyone listening and for ourselves as well, then just take a break.
Yes.
Yes. Find something, you know, just take a walk, anything.
Start
you know.
With something small.
Start
right?
with something yeah. small, then maybe you can plan a holiday. Who knows if you can afford it. Just do something that's out of the ordinary, I suppose, and just get away from this new normal for a while.
No.
Well, that's all the time.
Find your own normal.
Yes, find your own normal in this new normal. But that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you'd like to drop us a message, look us up on Facebook. You can just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. You know, like us if you'd like to as well. We have some updates all the time. And if you miss any part of today's show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. We're also on the BFM app and we're also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dasher and Johan will be speaking to James Chai, a political commentator, and Dr. Bridget Welsh, the honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. So they're going to be talking about Syed Saddiq's recent announcement that he will be starting a new multiracial, multireligious youth-based party. So they're going to discuss whether a youth party can actually make a difference in Malaysia. So that's going to be very interesting. So tune into that after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we're going to leave you with Super Furry Animals and It's Not the End of the World. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.